Blog Talk Radio.
Analytic and holistic approaches to...
And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006. Good evening, and this is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of the Honorable Booker T. Washington, the author of the book Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. We'd like to share some of our book with you this evening. In order to fully understand and appreciate the Black Revolutionary philosophy of the Honorable Dr. Booker T. Washington, it is necessary to review the degree of spiritual impoverishment that had come with the African-American slaves' relegation to the status of nearly inhuman chattel property. This spiritual impoverishment was the product of the cruelty and hopelessness that was endured by the black slaves, along with the wretched physical circumstances of their lives. The great abolitionist Frederick Douglass noted that, quote, the men and the women slaves on his slave master, Colonel Lloyd's farm, received as their monthly allowance of food 8 pounds of pickled pork, or its equivalent in fish. The pork was often tainted, spoiled, and wormy, and the fish were of the poorest quality. With their meat or fish, they had given them one bushel of Indian meal, unbolted, of which quite 15% was more fit for pigs than for men. With this, one pint of salt was given, one pint of salt. And this was the entire monthly allowance of a full-grown slave working constantly in the open field from morning till night every day in the month. And now a brief word from our sponsor, Reality Books, publisher of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A short extract from the book, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. God will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. In other words, until they change their way of thinking. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution is designed to help African Americans and other ethnicities change their way of thinking. This is a book that will change America, and it is on sale for only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. You can order your... You can order your book by sending a text message to area code 706-399-5006, and we'll be happy to contact you to make arrangements to mail the book to you and to receive your payment very easily through several different applications that we have. So at this time, we want to welcome everyone who has joined us for the show this evening. We kind of prolonged the opening, hoping that a couple of other people would join us, which maybe they will in a minute, but we won't delay. I want to begin by doing a radio check with my co-host. Welcome, Ms. Bianchi, and can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound pretty good.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. So I want to invite all of you who've tuned in via the Internet to come on board the Family Room Forum and participate in our discussion. We'd love to hear your opinions. We have picked a topic for this evening, but as we always say, we don't have to remain glued to this topic. We can change and adopt any topic that's on your mind that you would like to discuss. But we begin tonight with the topic based on what's been in the news a lot for the last few days, and that has to do with children returning to school. Here in Georgia, in certain counties, the children will be returning to the classrooms on Monday. In the county which is adjacent to where I live in Georgia, they will be returning next Monday. But the children are going to be going back to school here in the state of Georgia this month. And they're going to be going back to school under some very, very, what I would say, threatening conditions. And I say that because the primary school children, children under 12, will not currently be eligible to get a vaccination, which has been proven with adults to keep the people that do get infected from getting seriously ill to the point where they're going to have to be intubated, ventilated, and where they might suffer death or long-term debilitating residual effects. The vaccination so far has proven that even if people do get the infection of COVID, they won't get that sick. But the children can't even get the vaccination now. And children are getting sick, and some have died because of the variant, the Delta variant, which was not an issue this time last year. We were just looking at the main strain, COVID-19, but now the variant is different, because it is hitting children. But yet, the children are going to be going back to school. And some states and counties are requiring that the children wear masks, and some are not. Some are saying they're leaving it up to the parents if they want to mask the children. Well, that's fine up to a point, but if those children are sneezing, because we got fall coming on, and in certain parts of the country, children are going to catch colds. Normally, children will catch colds in the fall, and if they're sneezing, and if they're infected, and they're spreading on tabletops, desktops, and even on the clothing or the skin of their classmates who may be wearing masks but still could get infected in spite of wearing masks. So we're facing a dangerous situation coming up. So we're asking our panelists this evening, right now we're waiting for others, but we're asking our panel, our co-hosts, Mr. Bianchi, and also Sheikh John Kennebay, who's with us right now. We'll start with our co-host. In your opinion, Mr. Bianchi, are America's primary schools correct in bringing children into classrooms this fall without requiring rigorous COVID-19 safety protocols such as mask wearing, surface disinfecting, and social distancing? What do you think, Mr. Bianchi?
Well, good evening, John Kenneth Bay, and you, Mr. Washington. That's up to the parents, Mr. Washington. That's my opinion. Up to the parents in each school district of the thousands in the United States. That's the parents' responsibility. not Dr. Fauci, not the CDC, not President Biden, nor President Trump. It's the parents' responsibility. That's all I got to say.
Well, that's fine. You said that on many occasions. I just want to add this, and I'm going to turn it over to Say John Kenan Bay. It's just recently come out, the CDC, which is the federal agency that is supposed to collect data and also do studies and make recommendations concerning the public health. That's why they're called the center, the National Center for Disease Control. Now, they are saying that any old kind of mask, dust mask, paint mask, or whatever kind of mask that you might want to buy to cover your mouth and your nose is not going to be adequate protection for this COVID-19 Delta variant, that you need a N95 mask. That's not the same as the mask you get to keep dust fumes out of your nose when you're cleaning your house or doing some sanding to prepare your house to be painted or whatever. This is another mask. And I went online this evening, and the average price of this mask, when you buy it in bulk, then the prices that I was looking at were boxes of 20 masks, averaged out to about $3. $3 and some change per mask. Now, here's the thing. If we expect the parents to be able to spend $3 a day and in class 20 days out of the week, that's $60 a month, a lot of parents are going to do it and a lot of parents aren't. But the schools, in my opinion, shouldn't leave it up to the parents, because they got the health of all the students to be concerned about. So they should make sure that every student has a mask. Well, if they're going to get the right kind of masks on the children, that means that per child, even though they may be able to get discounted prices, so let's say they get the price even down through discounting to $1 per mask per day, and they got 400 children in the school, they need to plan on having 400 new masks ready to give to those children every day, and not just regular paper paint masks or dust masks, but N95 masks. That's a big undertaking that the school is going to have to, for the protection of all the rest of the kids, take that load on their shoulders. And but on top of that, I may be wrong, but my understanding is that they're going to rearrange the chairs back the way they had them before they sent people home or began to spread the children out for social distancing. One of the reasons why they were able to spread the chairs out for social distancing, even before they went to fully online training, which most of the parents didn't really like that, but they had staggered days. Some children would go to class from 7 o'clock in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, or 1 in the afternoon. Others would go from 1 until 5. So they were able to have half as many children in the classroom at any given time so they could spread the desks out. But I haven't heard anybody talking about doing it like that. What I've heard is they're going to bring the children right back the way they had been doing, 20 students in a classroom or however many that they had been doing before the pandemic. No social distancing. Some places, no mask wearing. And I haven't heard anything about them putting in emergency orders for the disinfectant to be able to spray the desktops, tabletops, or to wipe them down. So these protocols, which had been put in place before things got to the point where they said we just have to close the schools down to protect the children, I have not heard that they're going to reinstill these protocols. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe some places they will, some places they won't. But in places where they won't, I'm asking, is it correct for the schools not to provide these safety precautions? Now, I agree with Ms. Bianchi, it's up to the parents. But you see, I know for a fact in the state of Georgia, they have in this county, well, in Richmond County, police. They call them the resource officers, but they're actually sworn law enforcement officers. They go to the same academy as the sheriff's deputies and the other police. And in times of crisis, they are augmented into the regular police force. In fact, they may be already reserved and have another uniform when they have to be in the regular police force. I know one of my fraternity brothers, he's dual-headed. He's a regular deputy for Richmond County Police, and he's a resource officer, Richmond County Board of Education resource officer, meaning school policeman. He switches according to the situation, but normally he's a school resource officer. Now, if a parent, I've read the law, but I can't remember it exactly, but to the best of my knowledge, if a parent has a child out of class for 5 days, the parent could be arrested. If that parent doesn't have some kind of medical excuse from a doctor or some kind of legal document excusing that child for not being in school. For an example, where you have dual custody, and it may be that the child's other parent, father or mother, whoever's the other person with custody, may only be able to spend time with that child during a certain period during the school year. It might be during regular school days, and the court may give that particular parent permission to have that child with the other parent for those days. Well, if they can produce that kind of document, they won't have to worry about going to jail. But if they just decided they didn't want the child to go to school, they could be locked up. So it's not a choice that the parent would say, I don't want to send my kids to school just because I don't think it's going to be safe. They don't have that choice here in Georgia, not in this county. So that puts the onus on the schools to make the conditions safe, to make the environment safe. So I just wanted to say that, and I'll turn it over to Sheikh John Kenan Bay. What do you think, Sheikh John Kenan Bay?
First of all, I'd say good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, personally, you know, I don't have any children. However, I do have some questions, general questions, because I believe it's been politicized to an extent. Where are we in the pandemic? Is the pandemic over?
No, and, it's getting worse.
Well,
it's much worse than it was before.
Well, the policy that was put in place during the pandemic, it seemed like they should continue.
Yeah, it should, but they're not. And you just mentioned the key word, politics. The politicians, because of the uproar coming from the grassroots, that people got pandemic exhausted. They got tired of the pandemic. They got tired of hearing about the pandemic, even though the pandemic is worse today than it was a year ago because of the Delta variant, which is supposed to be more infectious than the other one.
So
okay.
The children, yes, if children went back to school and the pandemic is not over, couldn't they be a carrier of the COVID, which will affect
absolutely
older people? And more importantly, the younger adults that are childbearing ages, how will it affect them and the newborn, you know? So
yeah, all of these considerations.
So from a political point of view, it seemed to be a self-interest rather than an interest for the whole population. And it become selfish. It's sort of unrighteous to a certain extent. I think that we have to think in terms of the whole nation, the whole group of people, the whole community, because this is something that touches everybody. It's not an individual issue. COVID don't affect a person individually. It's thought of collectively as society. So, which means these decisions that are being made, are we willing to be accountable for the position we've taken? So if you take a position that you end up causing more harm, you know, are you willing to admit that, you know, that you were wrong, and that whatever the consequence, your contribution to be made to make it right, that you do that, you make it right. So I think that there should be some accountability for person's opinion as well in this whole situation. That's generally my
opinion
about what the situation is.
Thank you. Let me thank you for that, and let me go ahead and make this announcement again. For all of you who are listening via the Internet, we invite you, we encourage you to join the conversation. This conversation affects our communities, our families, and our country. And the number to call in is 657-383-0671. Again, 657-383-0671. Now, before we go around again, I do want to say something else about this. If the governor of a state and the state board of education and the county boards of education under the, what I would say, jurisdiction of the governor and the secretary of state, as it is in the case of Georgia, the county boards of education have to report to the secretary of education for the state of Georgia. That's the law in Georgia. It may not be that way in other states, but it is that way in Georgia. The secretary of education writes the core curriculum for the schools. The local boards of education don't write the core curriculum for the county schools in Georgia. The Department of Education, the State Department of Education, writes the core curriculum. So I want to make that clear, but that may not be the case everywhere. But the fact of the matter is that in Georgia, the students have to go back to school, or the parents will go to jail if they keep them out of school without a valid excuse or a court order. That's already set in stone. But now here's the thing, and here's what my issue is. The schools have a responsibility to do the necessary things, whether it's hiring additional custodial staff, giving the custodial staff overtime, have them come in earlier in the morning before classes or stay after class is over, extra half hour to wipe down everything. For the schools to provide the masks that I told you, because parents are probably not going to be in a position to spend $3 because they're not going to be able to get the discounts that will reduce the price to $1, for example, that the schools will get or the school districts will get. So they're going to have to go out like I did. I went up on Amazon. Price, they may have to go up on the line or go to Walmart where they're going to be increasing since they know the CDC is saying that these are the masks that they need now for the Delta variant. They'll probably be starting to stock the now that the supply has caught up with the demand. At first there was an issue with that a year ago, but now they've got the production process such now that the supply has caught up with the demand, even to the extent where we can send masks, N95 masks, overseas. But the schools are going to need to get these masks in the schools, assign so many masks per class to each teacher per day so that the children will be guaranteed to have a mask. Now, if the child brought the mask back to school the next day, perhaps that student won't need a new mask. But you know, and I know, a lot of these students are not going to keep those masks overnight, and the parents are not going to be paying close enough attention to make sure that when Johnny goes to bed or Mary goes to bed, a little Bobby goes to bed, the mama knows where the mask is, so mama can make sure that child has that mask in his book bag when he leaves the next morning. Some parents will, but many parents won't. So there's going to have to be masks there. So that's the cost to the school. And then the social distancing is another thing. The CDC said in the beginning, 6 feet. I heard they had reduced it. But regardless, the 2 feet normally allow between desk and the classroom. I've been an elementary school teacher, so I know what the normal configuration is in the primary school class. I taught fourth and fifth grade. And the 2 feet between desks is not going to accommodate the social distancing protocol that CDC said was required, even the one that's changed to where it's maybe less. It's still not as small as 2 feet distance. So the schools are going to have to figure out how they're going to get all these children the number of hours in the classroom if they don't have as many students in the classroom as they did before COVID, because they have to spread out more. These are things that need to be worked out, and because this hit so quickly, it seems like we've got kids going back to school Monday, and in my estimation, from what I know, and I could be wrong, these kind of considerations have not been put on the table, which means that many of these kids are going to be going into what we call in the Army a free fire zone, where germs are going to be coming from everywhere. Is that what we want? So we'll start back at the top. We'll go through again. And if we don't get any more callers, we'll stop at the end of this go-around here. Mr. Pionk, would you like to add more, expand on what you said?
Well, firstly, so the one thing I want to mention is that the CDC is not no authority. All they can do is recommend, like you said. And people is taking it upon hearing what they say as being an authority. And what about the, it was said that the other masks, other than the 95s, were sufficient. You see, some people was wearing shields that was open at the top and down at the bottom. Even if you do wear a mask, virus still can enter into your eyes and the fluids in your eyes. So I still say it's up to the parents. And school districts, who's going to take on the liability that needs to go with them recommending or handing out masks to someone? Suppose there's some default or something goes wrong. School districts don't like to be sued. And you're absolutely right. State statutes give the power of curriculum and textbooks and instructional material to the parents in the state of Missouri. And I don't know what it is in every other district. I think I looked at it in Illinois. But people should check that, and that's what they should be lobbying for and championing for. Those are parents' children, and the parents know better for their child than anybody else. If you got some parents that don't, I don't know what to tell you. That's a whole different discussion. So that's where I am, Mr. Washington.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. That we'll consider that to be wrap up because we only have the three of us on here. So I'll go ahead and let Sheikh John Kennedy say what he wants to say. If you have anything you want to add to that, Ms. Priyanka, fine. I don't have any other comments. But Sheikh John Kennedy, if you'd like to make more comments on what you were saying or add something to what you were saying, please go ahead.
I was thinking in terms of industry. Some companies have made a decision and that the employees need to be back into the office. I believe some has kind of backed away from that, and that will affect the parents as well as far as childcare and other needs that the adjustment they need to make. So I think that the information should come from a central authority to guide us in what is, it needs a leadership and direction. Of course, as far as diseases is concerned, there is an organization put together way before the current COVID situation. And I'm under the impression that they've been handling these types of situations around the world, and since this is global, I think that that organization, CDC, I think it's kind of productive to discount their value, their contribution to society, I think they should be in bold and power. I'm thinking that the noise that's being made about this organization, it will not be attractive to a lot of our bright young people that are coming out of school or seeking a career. So I think that there's some damage that is done, and it boils down to being selfish, thinking of yourself as opposed to your family, your future generations, you know, things of that nature. So I think we as a people need to do some self-examination, this whole situation to an extent, and appreciate the talent within the society or the community that we can call upon and tap to help address problems and solve this problem. You know, so I think division is work against unity. We need to have more unity, unified effort in approaching this problem that is facing everyone. You know, that's my opinion. I think that's you need to look at what could be the negative repercussion of position being taken, how it is influencing, like I said, potential. You want your brightest people to be in an organization such as one that is concerned about the future health of everyone, you know, and that CDC, I think, was organized, put together for that purpose. So I think a little short-sightedness is going in this whole situation. Now, the infrastructure a bill they're talking about is talking about putting things in the community that's going to help where you may not even need to send your children to school with the broadband communication, you know, things of that nature. Again, like I said, when it becomes politicized, I think it becomes selfish, short-sighted, and we need to be more open-minded, and we need to look at this situation and where it's going to affect the whole community, everybody. It's going to be a win-win for everyone. That's my thoughts on that whole situation. Peace. I'm finished.
You know, you're talking about the infrastructure bill. Infrastructure bill should be for just what it sounds like, infrastructure. I hear that there's provisions in there for preschool, Head Start, voter ID. That's a bunch of malarkey. Those bills shouldn't carry all those different categories while going through under another pretentious name. I think. And what should be is that the Department of Education should give out a statement to school districts that they have to allow parents to have full choice with full vouchers where they can put their child where they think is best for them. They may want to put their child in a school where they require no mask whatsoever. That's their prerogative. The federal government can't tell citizens to wear a mask and outdoors in their house. On the way businesses and states get away with it because they license businesses that have to have a state license. And, of course, if you got a state license, the state require you to do certain things, then you have to comply. Some states are going to just the opposite, saying you don't have to wear any. Man, so I think that, and you know, this further put emphasis, shall I say, opened the eye on the ignorance of the American public due to the education that we have that's permeating much of society today. Children don't have the basic knowledge on biology, the sciences. Matter of fact, I think that your sciences, your biology, your chemistry and electronics, electricity and mechanics, physics, I think that should be taught from as early on as possible. Put too much emphasis on history If people don't like the history that's being taught, or they have some alternative, we'll do that at a grassroots level. In your churches. But young people today need to be exposed to those elements. Magnetism. As I said, chemistry. Why do things happen? The weather. And then if they learn the basic principles and understanding of those, that can carry on into other areas and make it a lot easier for them to be able to master those other categorical areas of education. And as we see now, the fact that people don't understand about earth science and biology, that something as simple as a virus, which would probably take on the aspects of the flu, is causing people so much alarm. It's just amazing. Okay, Mr. Washington. Yeah, he probably don't feel it.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Bianchi. Thank you, Sheikh John Kenan Bay. Thank all of you who've listened via the internet tonight. And we hope you'll join us again on next Saturday evening at 8 o'clock p.m., as we used to hear on the radio when I was coming up years ago. Same station, same channel.
How you coming on with that saxophone before we let you get away?
I practice every day just about. I missed a day or two here and there, but I'm getting better and better. I did, to be honest with you, switch back to my reed, my actual bamboo reed, because it does have a much clearer, better sound. But I'm trying to master that reed because I got used to the synthetic reed, and the synthetic reed is a safer reed because I hardly ever have a bad note with the synthetic reed. But
what you should do is close us out with a half a chord or something on the show and just let it fade away.
Uh-oh, you're tempting me now.
Yeah, just fade us out.
That's the problem. See, if I had been warned and I put my synthetic reed in there, I would feel a lot safer because I'm experimenting with this new bamboo reed, and every now and then it caused me to hit a bad note, and I don't want to be embarrassing myself over there, but... That's it. That's all you're going to get tonight.
All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Y'all enjoy the weekend. Good night. God bless. Good night.
All right. Good night.